was an absolutely exhausting game. Wyoming's a good football team. Coach Bowles doing a really good job. It's always hard coming on the road, you know, and keeping that momentum going. I thought our guys did a really good job. We've talked about it a lot over the last few weeks, starting fast, playing focused, and making plays. We made the switch at quarterback, and really, really proud of this guy to the left of me. He did a great job of leading us. You know, and it wasn't always pretty. You know, everything here, it's hard. I mean, that's part of building the program. You gotta go through the hards, and we've been through some of these overtime and come up short. So to be able to come up and get this one against a really good team is a big deal for us. It's another brick in the building process, you know. And it's one of those deals where, you know, kind of funny. Sometimes it gets frustrating because, you know, everyone's so quick to say, oh, what's happening? They don't really understand building and what you need to do to get a college football program moving in the right direction. And it's staying the course. It's not listening to the outside noise. It's keeping everybody on track. You know, first play of the game, starting corner goes out, you know. And then later on in the game, you know, we lose one of our defensive ends. And then later on in the game, our kicker goes out. And all of a sudden, you got to make that with the backup kicker. But you know what? I got a great group of guys in that locker room, and they fight their tails off each and every game, and it doesn't always come up in our favor. So I'm really happy for them. I'm exhausted. I want to go to sleep. But for them, I hope they have a good night and enjoy it, and not too much.
Big triple overtime win for Tony Sanchez and the UNLV Rebels yesterday afternoon at Sam Boyd Stadium over the Wyoming Cowboys, top team in the Mountain West Conference. A game that if anyone tells you they thought the Rebels would win, they are either lying or, well, they're lying. I am sure they also knew that the top three of four teams in the country would lose this weekend. And for that matter, 8 years ago, they probably predicted that Donald Trump would be the next president. If ever there was a time of the improbable and the unpredictable becoming reality, we just lived it, my friends. Lots to squeeze into the next hour for sure, but let me start by saying good Sunday morning to you, and wherever and however you're listening, I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We come your way every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 here on Fox Sports Radio and streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Radio Network website. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. And new likes are always appreciated on the Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Callers are always invited. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Just please do me and everyone else a favor. If you choose to accept the invitation and join the show, please remember that it's still early on Sunday morning. So come with something interesting and entertaining. Meaning, I need your question to be the snooze alarm, not just a cold cup of decaf. Today on the show, you'll hear interviews with Kurt Palandek, UNLV's quarterback, right after he played the game of his life yesterday afternoon. Also, Running Rebels sophomore guard Chris Clyborn after his first real D1 basketball game. And after the first break, joining the show live from Detroit, longtime sports talk show host and Lions radio sideline reporter Tony Ortiz will be talking about how my Motor City Kitties might actually be the best team in a division that includes the always mighty Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, who started the season with 5 straight wins before dropping their last 3. Before diving into a week that won, I don't think it won anything, it just won't soon be forgotten, I have to introduce the guy to blame for making sure you hear me loud and clear every Sunday morning. Lotus Broadcasting superstar and future potential presidential candidate, Magnum the Producer.
Well, that's one hell of an introduction there. Because I don't believe that I will ever be the superstar of Otis Broadcasting. However, I have always thought about throwing my hat into politics because it makes me so sick that I'd love to be able to get in there and try to make a difference in the world. But, pretty wild week, and it certainly is not over yet. I almost wonder what kind of crazy, wild stuff is going to happen in the NFL this week following the events of the last week. And I'm not even talking about the presidential election. I'm just talking about college football. And then Steph Curry with 13 threes in a game during the week as well. So pretty wild week, and yesterday was just unbelievable. And what can I say about UNLV? You know, I'm shocked that they won. I've got to be perfectly honest. I did not expect that. I expected them to get their ass kicked like they had against San Jose State and Colorado State. Maybe the bye week was a good thing. They still have tons of defensive issues, especially giving up that touchdown late with about 4 or 5 seconds to go in the game. Or was it the last play of the game? Last play of regulation, I should say. after a 15-yard
questionable calls,
pass interference.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same old story, UNLV defenders not turning around to play the ball. And
well, no, the last play.
No, but just in general.
Yeah.
During, you know, but I joked with a friend of mine during the game that, hey, the UNLV football team scored more points than the UNLV basketball team did on Friday night. 69-66 was the final score, and Nikolai Bornin, is that how you say
Bornin,
it? Bornin,
yeah.
Who is the former starter and now is the second string kicker, comes on to kick the field goal to win the game for UNLV, and now they go to Boise next week, a very, very tough place. Boise, of course, will be fired up because they now control their destiny for the Mountain Division of the Mountain West, where somebody is going to fight to play San Diego State, I think, in the championship game. Wyoming still in first place in that division. Of course, they are now tied with Boise. They do have the tiebreaker. Wyoming hosts San Diego State next week, so that's going to be a very, very interesting game. I think San Diego State goes up to Laramie, and they'll just pound the ball with Pumphrey, and they'll walk away with a victory in a very rare or very tough place for them to play traditionally up at the high plains of Laramie, as Dick Calvert would say, from the high plains of Laramie. But pretty interesting week. Of course, number 2, 3, and 4 go down in the top 5 of college football. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how these people on Tuesday night will rate the top 4 teams, because there were some other upsets in the top 10 as well. Auburn lost. And just going to be interesting to see what happens on Tuesday night.
Well, it will be. And, you know, the UNLV game, yeah, absolutely bizarre the way that it went down. A ton of points scored. Offensively, I think Sanchez set the tone early in that game, and the way he set the tone early was he came right out passing the football. Both the first two possessions, the first play was a pass and a first down, which was something way different. You could definitely see it caught Wyoming off guard. And even though defensively they're still inept a bit when it comes over to the top, and a bit might be an exaggeration on the low end, offensively they're pretty good. 400 and run yards on the ground. It is amazing their rushing attack. Their quarterback over 150 with a 76-yard touchdown scamper that was brilliant. It was a lot of fun to watch. I talked to Kurt Pollendeck, and you'll hear that a little bit later on in the show. But I'll tell you, good, bad, or indifferent, it was a very unique and educational week, to say the least. We have a new president-elect, as we've talked about, and all I can say about this is, can you imagine if I told you even just a few years ago that Donald Trump was going to one day be president of the United States? What would your response have been? Don't answer the question. I'm not looking for that. I just a thought to ponder. I'm just saying, after the election and after I voted on Tuesday, I went home and took a very, very hot shower. I felt dirty. I scrubbed with my girlfriend's loofah brush. I mean, it was gross, man. And you know what? I'm not going to say any more than this. I want to leave the election alone and talk a little bit about more, a few other things. But I will say this about the election. I said it before. Donald Trump has a big ego, as we all know, and he wanted to win desperately. Wanted to beat Hillary. I don't think he ever really believed up until the end that it was going to happen. And I think he wanted the title of President of the United States. I never believed for a minute that he wanted the job. I still don't believe that he wants the job. Unfortunately now, or fortunately, hopefully, he has the job. Let's all support him. And let's just hope that he does the right thing by this country. That's what I'm hoping for. But like I said, my opinion, if you could get in the inside of the mind of Donald Trump, you'd find out that he wanted the title. He wanted to win. But who would want to take a pay cut? He says, I'm not even taking the money. He's taking a multi-million dollar pay cut to become president of the United States. Pretty amazing. But, you know, and think this is getting off the subject a bit. But then again, I'll bet Donald Trump is guilty of what I'm about to tell you. The night before the election, my week kicked off while I was at Buffalo Wild Wings hosting the Monday Night Football party. A friend of mine that came up to hang out informed me, and then our waitress at Buffalo Wild Wings confirmed that in the dating world right now, and I'm talking very early on in the process, sometimes even prior to date number one, men are texting women penis pictures. And both of them said this is a common practice, and both claim that it was unwarranted and that it thwarted what potential there was in the person that they were potentially going to go on a date with. But seriously, man, WTF? Megs, have you heard about this new approach to courting?
I have not, and it's Well, it's obviously a new phenomenon thanks to the introduction of cell phones and camera phones and smartphones and all that good stuff.
But I mean, dude, you meet a girl and, you know, she's a little bit receptive. You know, flirting has always been a thing. You flirt. Even sexual connotations are a thing. But really, before a first date, you're going to send a woman a picture of your penis and expect that to get you somewhere. And you know what, Mags, I got to believe if multiple girls are saying this is happening, that in some cases it must work.
You know what? I don't know if it works.
Oh my God, man!
Or it's just a case of some guys just being too full of themselves, thinking, "Hey, she's all about the big D," you know. And I mean, it's not something I would do to court a girl. I mean, I could tell you that. That's the last thing I'm going to do, and it's not because I have doubts, but you know, it's to me, it's not. I don't know. I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to courting a female. You know, I don't even kiss on the first date. Believe that. Can you believe that?
You know, Mags, I do believe you. I don't see why you would say something like that and lie. It'd be one thing to say that, hey, girls can't keep themselves off me and want to kiss me on the first date. To say I don't even kiss on the first date, of course I believe you. But I cannot say the same thing. If two people find a mutual attraction, it's a first date. Yeah, some kissing goes on. There's even been a point of one-night stands. I think we've all experienced that in the past. But the bottom line is never in my life at the beginning of a relationship the thought wouldn't even cross my mind to send a woman a picture of. Matter of fact, if she asked, I'd probably deny her, brother.
Yeah,
not probably. I would deny her. Who knows what they're gonna do with it?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, look at
Jeez, old Pete, man. Seriously, brother.
Appropriately named Anthony Weiner. I mean, look at how much he's gotten in trouble for sending pics of little Anthony to. Girls all over New York. Who knows? Maybe Anthony Weiner could have been the person who actually cost Hillary the election. But I'm not gonna go there. It's certainly possible that he played a role in it. But I just don't get that. No. Why? Why
you
would
know,
you?
And it was like so matter of fact. Both. And I'll tell you what. You know, it's a waitress. One of the waitresses at Buffalo Wild Wings that takes. You know, been probably waited on me half of the Sundays because a lot of times it's different people. And then a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a little bit played golf with her, a realtor friend of mine. Attractive girl, very attractive lady that kind of back in the dating world. Long marriage that just recently out of, and. Tells me, yeah, some guy was interesting, a friend that she's known for a while, never dated before, they were friends, and then all of a sudden, that's what he does. And then, like, he was offended when she kind of rejected it and didn't want to make plans or didn't return. I'm like, my God, and you knew this guy. You think you know somebody, a friend of yours even. Mind-blowing. The two girls were definitely honest, and I'm like I said, it must be working at some level for men to be doing this, because I imagine they're in cahoots, people talk to each other. For me, it was mind-blowing. I mean, I must be old school and old-fashioned, but seriously, man, that's a joke. It really is. But it's not a joke. It's happening. So, guys, I don't know if that's the method. Hey, maybe I'm too old school or not. I personally, ladies, anyone out there, I don't want any pictures, man. Thanks. But, you know, I've seen enough. Anyway, Mags, real quick before I go on, you know, just to close out about the UNLV game, it is going to be interesting to see what happens next week in Boise. What is amazing is now at 4-6, they've doubled their win total of last year, surpassed it, I should say. And they are, if they could somehow muster up a way to beat Boise on the road next week, then they come home, they play Reno again to maintain the rights to the Fremont Cannon. If they won both those games, they'd end up 6-6, bowl eligible. I don't know if they'd get invited to a bowl game, but then again, if you win your last three games and they're against Wyoming, Boise State, and okay, scratch Reno, but I would say 6-6 going out that way, not starting the season that way, would probably put them into some meaningless bowl, but it wouldn't be meaningless to Tony Sanchez and this UNLV team. It would be monumental, but people, I'm getting so far ahead of myself, it's not funny. I'm running a race that starts next year. The bottom line is they're not beating Boise and they're not going to a bowl game. I'm not Nostradamus. I'm just let's be realistic here.
Yeah, and at the end of the season, I think they're going to look back at three games and they're going to be kicking themselves because it was inexcusable to lose to Idaho at home, who actually, believe it or not, Idaho is bowl eligible. They won their sixth game yesterday. So that's a big surprise for a school that's dropping down a level next season. They may go out with a bowl game. And you know what? For Idaho and their fans, I do hope they get to that bowl game. But The Rebels are going to look at that game and they're going to say, you know what?
One that got away.
That was one we let get away. They're going to look at the first half against Colorado State at home, and they're going to say, what the hell happened?
Where did we go?
And then they're going to look at the
Central
Michigan. Well, Central Michigan, I think, is not one. That's on the road. Tough team. Central Michigan did beat Oklahoma State.
They played real well in the first half, and some key mistakes really cost them in that game.
So maybe 3.5 games, because then they're also going to look at the San Jose State game.
Yeah. Oh,
and they're going to say, you know what? San Jose State is garbage.
Oh, God.
And they kicked our ass. And I think those are the three games. And then, of course, like you said, the half against Central Michigan. They're going to look back and say, you know what? We may end up with 5 wins. We have the potential to win 8 or 9 games. And I think for Tony Sanchez, that's going to be something that he's going to carry with him into next season. And these young players, because let's be honest, outside of the secondary, the team is full of young players. You look at the roster, the running backs, the wide receivers outside of Boyd, the quarterback position, they're all young guys. I mean, Palandek is a junior, I believe, and he did play at the junior college level. I'm not sure, 1 or 2 years.
Palandek's a short-term answer. He had an unbelievable game yesterday. But this guy, Armani Rogers, whoever from California, I'm looking at him standing on the sidelines, Mags. He's 6'5", a pretty imposing character. He looks even a little bit body-wise like Randall Cunningham.
He could be the answer.
This guy next year is going to be interesting to see if he can win the job. You got every one of them coming back. Stanton's got another year of eligibility.
Sneed.
Palandek, Sneed. So it's a 4-way race next year. I got a feeling this Armani Rogers kid is going to come out in front of this race and just look for this kid in the future. He's got the body, the build, and from what I understand, he had a hell of a game, too. We won't know till next season, but hey, Palandek is serviceable right now. He'll get the job done. Mags, I want to really quickly go on. One thing I was going to say, though, is, you know, P.J. Fleck, I called attention to this guy earlier in Western Michigan, Kalamazoo. He started his tenure there in 2013, a year after he was the wide receivers coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went to Kalamazoo. Hey, he's only a couple games over 500 right now. It's his fourth season. It's Sanchez's second. A huge win against Wyoming. If he can follow it up going 1-2 in the next 2 games, like I said, you can't expect much against Boise. It would be a good win against Reno to close out the season and go 5 wins. He is on pace to do what he needs to do. Fleck is 35 years old. By the way, Central won again yesterday, 37-21 over Kent State. In D1, they are the only other undefeated school left besides the Crimson Tide of Alabama. But unfortunately, I don't even think it'll get Western crack in the top 15. They play in the MAC, and Boise State has a better name than them. I won't be surprised that Boise State might even jump in front of them this week. They're 8-1, and they were last week, I think the way it went, Western was 21st ranked, and Boise was 22. You might see that flip-flop this week. It's the Mid-American Conference. I don't know if Western will get respect, and the question is, will they get a New Year's Day bowl, a big bowl, what would be called a BCS bowl? I don't know, but you got to admire what he's doing there, and guys like him give me hope that guys like Sanchez can do well here. We do need to go to break. Like we said, 3 of the top 4 teams lost yesterday. For those of you out on an island somewhere, Pittsburgh on a last second 48-yard field goal beats Clemson up in Happy Valley. That's a real hard place to win, brother. And they won the game up there in Clemson. They beat them there. That's going to be really tough. Michigan loses by a last second field goal. It's a much shorter one, 33 yards to Iowa. That was on the road, however. And Washington, man, I'm not going to say by any means this team is a pretender. They're the real deal. But 26-13, USC's been playing much better lately. They were up to rank number 20 last week. Washington, 3 of the top 4. You know, what's pretty amazing is the last time and the only time in history 3 of the top 4 lost in the same weekend was way back in 1985, October 19th. And ironically, Michigan got beat by Iowa. Or Oklahoma got beat by Miami, and Arkansas got beat by Texas. But that was the last time that happened. Pretty amazing that 3 of the top 4 teams, like I said, all of them undefeated, all of them gone.
And I think in that Iowa-Michigan game in 1985, Jim Harbaugh, I do believe, was the quarterback of
the Wolverines in 85.
I'm pretty
sure you very well could be correct that Harbaugh was the quarterback of the team. I'm sure he didn't like seeing history repeat itself now. But Michigan still, in essence, does control their own destiny. It's going to come down to a big matchup against their rivals across town, in another state over there in Columbus. And that's going to be one hell of a game to end the season and probably determine a lot. We'll talk more to college football if we have a chance later on. We do need to go to break. On the other side of this break, man that has been covering the Detroit Lions for years and years, even before I worked for the Detroit Lions radio network in Detroit. Tony Ortiz, looking forward to having him join. He's a sideline reporter, and we'll try to decide, man, are these Lions for real? Are we going to get our heart broken again? You'll find out. Fox Sports Radio, out of line.